Pick up for this evening, Lucetta from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Lucetta, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks, Michelle, for asking me to speak. And I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Thank you for your share, and happy birthday to birthday people. This is just my story, so I hope that it helps somebody. And if you don't hear what you need to hear, or if you have questions, feel free to talk to someone after the meeting. What it was like, a little bit about my childhood. I had a really loving family. I had a little bit of chaos in my family. My father also got sober when I was six. But there was still a little bit of chaos, and my brother is 10 years older than me, 16 at the time, started to have trouble drinking and doing drugs, and I had three younger sisters, but I had everything I needed, activities, and we were a little bit poor, so there was a little bit of stress, but things were pretty good. I was a tomboy and playing with the boys. I loved that. I loved being the only girl on the baseball team and surprising people that I was actually good. And our team was better because I got picked last. They thought I was bad. That relates a little bit because once I started to get a little bit older, I'm a girl and not a boy, and had to separate a little bit. And I didn't like that in 10th grade when I drank for the first time. It kind of gave me that in back into like the crowd with the boys, and I could hang and I could have something in common with them. I went to meetings when I was young with my dad, and it was great. I loved hanging out with my dad, just me and him, riding to the meeting. There's cookies in the back of the room. Everyone knew I wanted some cookies. The people were nice, and I remember at the end we prayed in a circle, and I liked that. I didn't grow up with any religion, and when I found out about religion on the playground, they're like, "Are you Christian or are you Catholic?" And I didn't even know what they were talking about, and I was pissed because I like to know, like, I don't like to not know about things. But anyways, when I heard those prayers, I liked it, and it felt safe. You know, my brother has struggled in and out of jail institutions. Either he shows up and he has resolve, or he just disappears. You know, we don't know exactly where he is. I actually saw him last weekend, which was really nice. But how I saw him drinking and using, like, characterized how much I controlled my drinking. I was always pleasing people, my teachers. My mom was a little bit scared of my mom. You know, I wasn't going to get in too much trouble. I'm going to people please my, I'm going to make sure my teachers are happy, my coaches, and that really kept me out of trouble for a while. I just really looked at, like, I remember going to Al-Anon I remember seeing the steps when I was younger, and I really felt like, I remember going through them quickly, because I didn't want to be an alcoholic, and I didn't want to struggle like my brother, and I remember seeing, like, the amends, so I felt like if I didn't do anything too bad to other people, then I'm not an alcoholic. I'm actually really tripping out right now because I'm not that nervous, and that's really uncomfortable because I'm just, like, these past 3 years, 3.5 years, I've just, like, if anyone's heard me speak, like, I cry. I'm very nervous. When I first got here, I was, like, babbling. I could not look up at you. And since you asked me to speak, I was, like, waiting to be nervous and crazy and rehearse. You know, I rehearsed a little bit, but I couldn't help it. But it wasn't like before, and I'm, like, I'm not nervous, you know, and it's just, it's different, it's new, and that's all to this program, and this is what I wanted, just to, like, relax and just to be chill for, just to relax. Back to my drinking, you know, I was a good student, I was an athlete, I got a scholarship to college, you know, I'm certainly not an alcoholic. You know, I was a fancy drinker, actually. I was a foodie, and it was all about the beer and the food pairings, and we would have these extravagant parties, and we would cook all day and drink, and it was about the food, you know, and these incredible cocktails and restaurants, you know, and you know, just a lot of things. When I got sober, I realized, because, you know, I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't wake up and drink, you know. But I would wake up and go to a restaurant and, of course, order a drink with my breakfast. And the drink would come first, and I would drink that. And I loved that that feeling, you know, drinking on an empty stomach, you know. And I'm getting it real quick. So, what else? Like, when you guys laugh, it means you're relating. I know you're not laughing at me. I was a fancy drinker, right? You know, and just pot, it's organic. I did ecstasy just once. I did mushrooms just once a year while I was in college. I was real afraid of, you know, the chemical drugs. I felt that would put me out of control, and that was what my brother was dealing with. But if I look at, you know, it, and my very first meeting, I was totally crying and not that coherent, but what I thought I heard you talking about was, like, the first guy got up and it was like, I got a DUI, and then the second guy got up and I was like, I got 3 DUIs, and the fourth guy got up and was like, I got 10 DUIs, and, like, you were, like, bragging about all this, like, legal stuff that happened and these issues, you know, and I, at that point, I knew I belonged, but I was a little afraid that you were gonna think that you were, like, not really going to welcome me or something, or think that, like, oh, you're not really an alcoholic. But I looked at, like, how I felt, how much I was thinking about drinking, and that's where I related. And even though I wasn't doing it as much as my brother was doing or as much as other people were doing, like, I was thinking about it all the time. And the restless, irritable, and discontent until I take a drink. That's exactly how I felt, and that language is what I relate to. And too, after getting sober, I found out I did a lot more things that were, I just didn't look at them like that, you know. But, and I also just stuffed them, like, real deep in my memory, forgot about these things that I did. I did what I knew I was going to go to college. I did that. After college, my mom didn't give me a plan, so I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, so I took a break. I like when Bill's story talks about how he's, like, going to come home and it's going to be great and all these wonderful, like, he's surely going to be grand and surely things are going to happen. And that's how I felt. But, like, for now, I'm going to just take a break and just, you know, hang out where I went to school and party a little bit more. And I came down here to San Diego. I found some friends that I just absolutely adored, my fancy drinker friends, and I just chameleoned onto them. I was kind of like the personal assistant, like whatever we were doing, I would just help them out with, and people didn't even invite me places because they knew I would just like be there with them. When I turned 30, I remember I was that number really, because I always hated myself. I always was never good enough. I remember from a very young age, I realized, like in elementary school, I realized I'm shy, but I realized, you know, it's really a little bit more beneficial to the world to be like outgoing. Like those kids are like getting a lot more attention, and it's better. And so I like resolved to change myself and to make myself more outgoing at a very young age. I forgot where I was going with that. I'm turning 30, I turned 30, and somehow that number was like, wow, you're 30 and you're not where you had planned to be, which was totally unattainable. Like, I wanted to be like a professional athlete, a civil rights leader, a mom, a businesswoman, like all these things. I'm like, wow, I'm nowhere near there. Like, I'm just still just hanging out with my friends, just partying. I haven't got any DUI, although I very much could have. I haven't really gotten much trouble, but I'm just like, I'm depressed. And like I said, I had a great upbringing, and I was so depressed, and it just didn't make sense. Like, and like, why am I have nothing to be depressed about. Like, I knew nothing really bad had happened to me, so now I was pissed off at myself because I'm depressed and I have nothing to be depressed about. But I just knew that like something was not right. I always had celebrated my birthday with my family. I planned something, and I remember my mom kept asking me, what are you going to do? You know, what's the plan? Are we coming, they live in LA, or are we coming to San Diego? What's the plan? And I just kept blowing her off. I don't know. Finally, she got me on the phone. She's asking me, what we're going to do? And I've always been real open with my dad. But my mom, you know, she's like kind of strict. I mean, she's incredible, but she's just a little bit more like business. And I finally told her, like, Mom, I'm depressed. Like, I don't want to celebrate my birthday. You know, and then it's my 30th, so of course I'm mad they didn't throw me a surprise party. After I told my mom I didn't want to celebrate. But anyways, just trying to lighten it up. I told her that I was depressed, and I thought she was going to be, you know, business, and, well, you need to do this and that and get, you know, get it together. But she was like, all right, well, that's more important. You know, maybe we should do something about that. No, she didn't even say that. She said, all right, well, that sounds more important. And I was like, okay, yeah. Just like, I needed to do something about this. And I started to look around, and I went to a therapist. That cost a lot of money. And she did one thing that pissed me off. And I wasn't really open with her about how much I drink. You know, again, I'm a fancy drinker. Like, I just have a little bit of wine once in a while. And then I tried a self-help program that was like tapes and a workbook, and this program suggested, it was about anxiety and depression, and I did have anxiety and depression, it suggested, you know, cut down on any stimulants, even coffee, including, you know, alcohol. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that part of this program. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to stop drinking or cut down on coffee or whatever. And I got through like the first 3 months, and I stopped doing that. But I was kind of looking. I knew there was just something not right with me. Like I just felt so anxious. Like just to go to the grocery store was a big deal. Like I had to be in the right mood. I had to be a little bit high, you know, because I'm gonna go to the grocery store and this clerk is gonna look at me while I'm checking out my groceries, and that's just terrible. You know, I couldn't be in a healthy relationship. I only dated guys that basically two categories. Either I didn't like them, but they liked me and they were nice to me and would do things for me, or they didn't like me and I was going to fix them like I wanted to fix my brother, and they were going to change for me. What happened when I realized I was an alcoholic? Thanks for these people that came to support me tonight. This is really helping. They're just sitting here smiling at me like it's just amazing, my life today, that I was dating a guy I was obsessed with him for about 5 years. He was in the category of I liked him but he didn't like me. He didn't want to be with me. I was obsessed with him for 5 years, and he didn't want to date someone that drank, because he had some, he was, I'm trying to figure out if I'm like telling too much about him or not, but he was abused by alcoholics when he was young, and for him to smell that on the breath of someone that he was intimate with, he didn't want that, you know, and like that did not make sense to me, you know. I'm like, stop judging me. It's really not that bad, you know. And today, like, I really don't like cigarettes, and I really have never dated someone who smokes cigarettes. Like, it makes total sense. It's just like a preference. So after 5 years, we finally started to get it together. I really like this guy. He was upset one night. I had had half a beer because I was going to go see him. We usually smoked pot together, but he didn't want me to drink. I had had half a beer. That was my last drink, actually. And I went to see him, and we kissed, and he's upset. He's trying to hide it from me, and I'm like, oh, it's not about me. It's not about you judging me. Like, I care about you. This is hurting you. Like, I don't want to hurt you. I want to be with you, and I'll stop drinking, you know. And I had never stopped drinking before. It was always a choice. It was always, you know, I would switch it up, you know, my stomach's hurting, I'd have beer for the bubbly and then go back to wine or take just a few days off. I decided to quit drinking for him. And I thought that it would be no problem. I hung out with him every night for 6 days in a row, and I was like, well, he's fine with me smoking pot. I actually like that a little bit more. This is going to be no problem. I hung out with him every night, and we smoked, and on the sixth night, the seventh night, he didn't, I thought we were going to hang out, but we weren't, and I had, I was just by myself that night, and I just hit me, I just realized that, I want to drink, this is not that easy, I can't just quit. And that's when all of my knowledge of growing up in the program, it just like flooded in, and I had remembered, if you find you can't stop drinking on your own, you may be an alcoholic. I remembered that statement, and it just flooded in, it just hit me, that maybe that was my problem. And I looked on the website, I was a mess. I was in my sweats, babas everywhere, mocos everywhere, crying. And I'm looking on the website, and I see a meeting. It's close by my house, but I'm probably going to be a little bit late. I'm definitely going to be a little bit late. And I said, you know, maybe I'll go next time. I'm going to be late. You know, I'm a mess. And the weirdest thing happened to me, and I still can't explain it. It felt like if I believe in like a past life, it felt like a past life came, like this voice came to me, and it was like kind of like talking shit, and it was like, Lucetta, like you've looked at this website before, maybe you should go. And the reason why I felt like this past life is because I still don't remember having had looked at that website before. I still feel like that was the first time. And so I listened to this voice. I was like, yeah, you're right. I looked at the AA website twice. I should probably just go check it out. And I knew it was a safe place. I just trusted it. I had seen a lot of people in my family. My cousin at the time, she's a little bit older than me. She had 6 years. My Nino, my godfather, has 24 years. My father is sober. They would have friends at family events, and when I was open with my dad too about being depressed, he would tell me that I could go and just talk about that at a meeting if I wanted to. And my Nina also, he gave me a 12 and 12 one day, and he was like, this is a spiritual book. He was totally serious. He's like, this is just, you know, I'm not trying to say anything about your drink or anything. This is a spiritual book. It could help. And I knew that meetings had come in different shapes and sizes, and I'm late and I'm a mess. I think I changed my sweats and try to like get a little bit freshen up a little bit, and it was not working. I was red faced, and I just said, like, please God, like, please don't let there be like six people sitting in a circle and then I walk in late and they all turn and look at me. That would be the worst. And I took myself to this meeting, to Pathfinders in South Park, and I remember I absolutely love that meeting. And I was there for my first 6 months, and I got called on a lot. And if you saw me there, it was I was a mess. I couldn't. I like this one girl. She kind of. I try to make her do impressions of me when I like was first here, and she's like, but I would go up to the podium and I would share. But back to being in the car. Remember being in the car. I'm shaking. I'm a mess. And I just remember I was just forcing myself to do this. And I remember, I know it sounds dramatic, but I was like, I could feel like my arms like cutting through the air. I was like, my arms, like move my arms, move my legs, like walk, do it. Like I made myself do it. And I went through the back door there, and it was standing room only. And it's not always standing room only. And I just snuck through, and I went and found a seat on the stairs. And I looked up, and this wonderful woman was there with her 6-year-old daughter. And that reminded me of me. So it's just another little magical thing. And she came over and sat next to me. And another magical thing I found out later, she's like, I don't always do that. She's like, for some reason I felt for you when I came and sat next to you. I usually don't go up to women. And she sat next to me, and I was like, oh, you're kind of close, you know. But she was like talking to me, but I liked it. And I pulled back a little bit, and she pulled back, and I noticed that it was like she wasn't trying to be more than what I wanted, you know. And another thing, I somehow got there early enough to say my name, and I, of course, like I was like, and you guys were like, what? And I said my name again, and you said my name, and that just meant something for me, that you paid attention and you wanted to know my name and pronounce it. My name is spelled differently than it's pronounced, and it's always been an issue of people calling me the wrong thing, and it just meant a lot that you just cared what my name was. And like I said, that first meeting, I thought that I heard you all bragging about your the bad things that happened to you, and that didn't happen to me at that point. And some girls came up to me after, and I asked them that question. You know, I asked them I asked them about that, and, you know, and they were like, no, all that stuff didn't happen to me either. And I tested things out. You know, I'm like, I'm going to be an AA. Like, this is going to be, it's going to be good for me, you know. And, like, one of the things, I still choose my meetings based off my friends, and I call it the cigarette situation. What's the cigarette situation there? Because I'm allergic. I don't like cigarettes. And at Pathfinders, I have a lot of cigarettes. And I tried it out with these girls. I said, can we go walk? They're like, you want to talk? And I'm like, can we go walk down to the corner? And I'm like, sure. I was like, you didn't ask me why. Like, you just are like, sure, let's just go to the corner and talk. I'm like, so we went to the corner, and they just, no judgment. They didn't ask why. And we talked, and I asked some questions. And one of the women offered to sponsor me, and I agreed. I knew that it was in this, again, from my family, I knew it was in the steps. I knew that you got a sponsor, and I just wanted to jump right in. They did suggest that I do 90 meetings in the first 90 days, so a meeting every day. I was like, whoa, it's not that bad. Like, I thought that I would just come here, like, when it's emergency situations like this, I would come back. But they suggested that, and I actually did that. And they also informed me that we also don't smoke pot here. And I was like, dang, I did not have that in my plan at all. That was disappointing news. You know, like, but when I went to that meeting and I heard you say the irritable, what is it, discontent, irritable, and restless until you take a drink, I was like, yes, that's my problem. And like I said, I knew, like, something was off, like, something was not normal with me, and I didn't know what it was, and I was so grateful I found out what my problem was, and it came with a solution. Like, that's really good news. And I wanted what you had. I saw you, like, happy to see each other and including me, and just like I was saying, like, chill. Like, you seemed happy. And I wanted that. And I really signed up. I really just did everything I could in this program, and I remember my sponsor was like, okay, call me every day, and I was like, it's really not that bad. And it kind of hurt my ego. Like, she was a little bit younger than me, and I was like, it's really not that bad. But I kind of looked at the suggestions that were given to me, and I asked myself, like, is it going to hurt me to call her every day? And it wasn't going to hurt me to call her every day. And, you know, later I realized that that's just to build a relationship with someone, you know. And if I had decided in the beginning to just stop showing up, you know, she was going to kind of be the one that would notice first and would call me. You know, I just trusted the steps at first and just did them, and, you know, admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. You know, again, I had to look at how much, maybe not how much I did actually drink, but how much I was thinking about it all the time, and it was how much I needed it to feel good, you know. And I was like, I was showing up to family events, but I was completely not present. I couldn't wait to leave, you know, but I felt like, well, I'm a good family member because I'm here. I think I remember loving step two, like that sanity. Like I just knew something was wrong with me. Like I was insane. I couldn't, I just couldn't get my stuff together. And I just wasn't happy. The step three, we were talking about this in a meeting this last week. And, you know, at first, and someone was mentioning, like, how do I know what's me and what's God's will? And it's so confusing. I remember the beginning, you just like try it out. You just kind of, as long as you're trying to think about the difference, like what is God's will? How do I hand my will over? What's my will? And then you kind of just test it out, and like it just. I find a lot of times with my will is like the more difficult way, you know, if I'm like really trying to force something to happen, that's not God's will. And I think in one of the other steps, I was asked to kind of like create God of my understanding. Oh yeah, that's in step three. God as we understood him. So I was asked to kind of create what is my God? What does that look like? How would my God treat me? You know, and that's a really kind, loving God, and wants the best for me. Step four. Somehow, like looking at writing these things down on paper, just was really helpful to see all those relationships. All the ways, like I looked at like my friends, my family members, like kind of like the same way. It was just repeated. The sex inventory, just the repeated. Like maybe I should stop doing that too, guys. Like being with them for a year and I don't really like them. I was nervous to read my fourth step to my sponsor, you know, and I started, you know, she's going to judge me. I started reading it, and it was like she was picking at her nails. Like, she didn't even notice I had, like, started talking. She was, and everything, and still to this day, I call my sponsor. I call it embarrassing time because I need to tell her something that I'm really embarrassed about. And she just laughs at me, and she just, because she's done it or thought it or done worse, and she just doesn't judge me. And that's what I find. My first sponsor, she drank when I had 6 months, and I had completed my steps with her, which was really nice, but it was really uncomfortable to be without a sponsor for a little bit. And I have a sponsor today that I just... She doesn't judge me, that I know of. She doesn't make me feel judged. She makes me feel comfortable, and I feel comfortable that if I, like, don't want to tell, you know, certain one of my friends something, a secret, I do feel comfortable telling her. And she leads me back into the steps and the program, and, you know, I don't agree with everything with her, maybe, like, political things, or maybe she treated someone, a friend of ours, because we're, like, in a group of friends, we're not a group, you know, these groups are open, anyone can join, and I actually did that in the beginning. I was like, all right, well, I need some friends, and I would see groups of women just, like, standing there. Thanks. And I would literally, like, go up and stand right next to them and, like, see if anything would catch. And a few did, or else I would just listen in on their conversations, and that was totally fine. They were like, oh, yeah, come here. So I was saying, you know, maybe some things my sponsor I don't agree with, but I do, she makes me feel comfortable, and I know I can be honest with her. So that's why I really like my sponsor. you know, and I'm still just trying to just be of service, do whatever I'm asked to. You know, Michelle texts me, and I think I was just my reaction when I texted you back. I was like, damn, okay, yes, you know, this. I know this is a big meeting, and but, you know, I know that I just stay in service, and I get a lot out of it. Today, I don't know, I'm just, like, more comfortable in my own skin. I have this peace and serenity, and it's certainly not all the time. And, like, I'll be feeling real good, and then suddenly, like, someone just, like, say something, and I'll just go off the deep end and just, you know, be upset for a while. You know, it's definitely not, like, perfect. I'm not always not nervous. Does that make sense? I don't know, I feel like this program, like, it didn't change I don't describe it like changing everything. Like, I had a different life back then. I had this life, I had this shell. I was living it, but I wasn't really there, and the lights were off, and I think of this life as, like, now the lights are on inside, and I'm actually living my life, and, you know, I get to have real friendships with people, and, you know, I say, let's, you know, I lead sometimes, you know, I say, let's go to a hip-hop cardio class, and they say, okay, you know, before I was just always following, just whatever, like, can I hang out, you know, I have a boyfriend that I actually like, and he likes me too. It's good. It's really good. I know, like, actually, we've been together for 2 years, and it's just absolutely amazing. And it's tough too, because I will get in actual fights where, like, neither of us is glaringly wrong. We're just both kind of have our different opinions or perspectives, and, like, I can't bullshit him, you know, like, he's a normal, healthy guy, you know, I can't just manipulate him into, like, getting my way. So, like, having this healthy relationship where, like, I actually have to respect him is, these relationships are challenging, you know, with my, but it's worth it, you know, like, I'm present in my life, like, you know, maybe it seems like I'm bragging about this relationship, but I just can't believe it. Like, really, when we had our 2-year anniversary, like, that was a big deal to me. I just was never with anyone for more than a year, and I stopped liking them at least, like, 6 months. that's really bad. You know, the good news is, the solution is, like, I remember I'm, like, in the beginning I was starting to do my steps, and I'm stalling on my 4-step and stuff, and these grumpy old guys at Pathfinders that I just really loved, they would tell me, and they would point out, like, that one girl that came up to me, like, do you think that she was always like this? You know, she was not always like this. She was not always happy. You know, but the good news is, we don't have to be who we were. We don't have to live that life anymore. You know, I've just been, like, even the things that I had to figure out, like, who I was, even, like, I knew I liked soccer, you know, but that started to just be, like, just something that was, like, I knew I was good at it, you know, like, if that kept me alive for a while, like, at least I'm good at soccer, you know, I have one quality to myself, and too, my niece was born, she's 10 years old now, and I remember, thinking suicidal, and I remember I could do that to myself or to, like, the older people in my family, but I didn't want to do that to her. She really liked me. She likes me. I forgot what I was getting at. Got emotional. But I'm just, like, actually present in my life. get to enjoy my family and get to go back and enjoy those things that I used to enjoy and figure out what I do like and just have ownership over my life and not be just a slave to what other people think. I mean, still working on that, of course. I think I'm starting to babble now, but this is a really good deal. Yeah, I feel like this cheesy salesperson for AA sometimes, like, you should do it. But it's just really because, like, I owe everything to this, you know, and I saw other people happy, and I didn't know why I wasn't happy. This has given me that foundation for that, you know, and I figure out I have, like, other issues, and I gotta go address those issues, too. I'm just really grateful to be here and appreciate you all listening. Thanks.